And we just brought on one in Brunswick in Melbourne, and it went live last Tuesday on Airbnb.
Yep.
And on Wednesday morning, I woke up to a 29-day booking starting on Saturday,
wow,
clearing after property management $4,300 for the 29 days.
You're listening to Property Investor Tales, stories from the front yard. Here's your host, Tabitha Bright.
Hello and welcome to Property Investor Tales, stories from the front yard, where I get to speak to property investors from around Australia about their investing journey. My name's Tabitha Bright and I'm the head of coaching here at Positive Real Estate, where we help people build wealth through property. With over 8,000 clients across Australia and New Zealand, there are some incredible stories to tell, which hopefully make your investing journey that little bit easier. So my guest today is one of our fabulous coaches, Megan Wolfenden, and she's specialized in Airbnb hosting. So she has made some incredible cash flow via two of her properties being Airbnb, and she's just added another one to her portfolio of short-term stays. So Megan's going to take us through everything that you need to know to successfully create fabulous cash flow for your portfolio via Airbnb. Enjoy this conversation with Megan. Alrighty. So, hey, everybody, welcome to today's podcast. My name's Tabitha Bright. I'm head of coaching here at PRE, Positive Real Estate. And I've got the fabulous Megan Wolfenden with me now. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Tab.
And today I thought we'd talk about Airbnb and short-term rental, because as interest rates rise, Airbnb is fast becoming, you know, a very attractive and often lucrative way to get the most out of your investment property. And Megan's never shy of trying something. I think you've transacted over 100 properties over your investing career, haven't you? So you're experienced in the property market. And her and her husband, Ant, have currently two Airbnbs, and you're in the middle of sorting out a number three. So I might hand to you, and why don't you tell us a little bit about what you've been doing, what's worked, and I know we've got a whole lot of stuff to touch on today. So I'll hand over to you.
Awesome, Tab. Thank you very much. Yeah, I must say I'm having a lot of fun with the Airbnbs, and not that I'm a big decorator or anything, but I am enjoying getting the furniture and all of that kind of stuff. I'll tell you a bit more about that in a minute.
Yep.
But we started doing this before COVID.
Yep.
And of course, we were worried that during COVID there'd be a problem. As it turned out, that we always buy as per Sam, the hospital belts and things like that. And consequently, over COVID, we didn't have a problem. We had people coming up from Sydney needing places to live while they looked for a place to buy, et cetera, et cetera. So we did very well over COVID as well with our Airbnb properties. So we've kind of got two, we're bringing on a third. And the third one is a little bit selfish, because one day I'll flatten my house and I need somewhere to live because there's no rentals. So we bought this townhouse in Hope Island, and it, as I was doing my research on it, it was a great place for us to live while we needed a place to live. But I looked at how close it was to all the theme parks and thought, I'm going to see how well this will rent on Airbnb. And sure enough, those numbers are looking really good as well. So we settle on that one in a couple of months' time, and so there'll be three full-time Airbnbs. Plus we have furnished apartments like Arias where you can't do Airbnb, and then we have the regular rentals as well. So the Airbnbs have been a bit of fun and certainly a massive cash flow for us. So yeah, and we just brought on one in Brunswick in Melbourne, and it went live last Tuesday on Airbnb.
Yep.
And on Wednesday morning, I woke up to a 29-day booking starting on Saturday,
wow,
clearing after property management $4,300 for the 29 days.
For the 29 days. So that's massive. And that's an apartment, isn't it? It's not a house. So tell us a little
they're
bit
all
about
apartments and townhouses.
They're all apartments. I think we've got just a tiny bit of internet lag. So they're all apartments, and then you bring on the townhouse in Hope Island. and that served you very well. And with a couple of your properties, you have they're not able to be Airbnb due to the rules of the body corporate. Is that correct?
Correct. So with the ARIA Living, there's a requirement there that it's minimum 6 months. So we've just got furnished in there, which gives us a good return. Yep. And then it actually turns out it's not always just the body corporate. It might just be the location isn't appropriate. And I don't want extended periods of vacancy. So we need to get to around that 60% occupancy to make sure that it's at least keeping up or doing a little bit better than a 12-month rental.
So tell me a little bit about that. Do you have rules that you have kind of honed over your experience to make sure that you're buying a property that is going to work for Airbnb? Because obviously, like, you know, I've got a nice place here in Prahran, but it's not particularly close to anything other than the tram. So, you know, it may not work for an Airbnb as a poor example. So tell me a little bit about that. What are your kind of rules for what makes a good Airbnb?
Yeah, so first of all, I think we want to make sure that it is close to transport, could be airports or a really good transport hub, close to hospitals, because we get a lot of people on Medi-stays. The government has worked out that it's cheaper for them to give country people accommodation money and bring them into the city for their treatment in hospital rather than build hospitals out in the regional areas. So it's always good to be near hospitals, and there are very few hotels near hospitals if you think about that. They're not normally the same zoning. So I love the hospital belts. Something near an airport and a race course and a big shopping area and transport to the beaches, all of that works really well. I know when I go to say to the Grand Prix in Melbourne, we want to stay in St Kilda near the beach and grab the tram and get onto the race course. So there's a lot of events going on in big cities, especially Melbourne and Brisbane. Big cities like that where there's so much going on and so much reason for people to want to come and stay. And even sort of near Suncorp Stadium or all the different stadiums where they have multiple events, that makes for a really good Airbnb. I don't have exactly tourism properties. It does work in certain areas for tourism, but I'm more wanting a broader reason for people to come and stay in my properties.
Okay, that's cool, which probably explains why you didn't have any problems renting your Airbnb during COVID, right? So that's because here in Melbourne, obviously, the inner city, the market for apartments, it was just shot as far as rentals and nobody was traveling. And I mean, Melbourne was a little bit unique in that it was locked down so much. we won't get into the politics of that. It's certainly recovering fast. And even I've noticed your Airbnb in Melbourne is in Brunswick. So it's close to, you know, Brunswick's got its own vibe. People love it. It's close to bars, restaurants. It's a boutique development, isn't it, that one?
That's right. And it also turns out that having parking in an area like that's really important. So we've got underground parking. And by the way, soon to have the electric car charger in there. It's not quite put in yet, but that'll be another little tick on Airbnb and short stay, believe it or not. People will search just for the electric car charger. And that's pretty unique. You can sort of up your price a bit more.
So that's cool. And tell us a little bit about the setup time and timeline and what buffers you need, because obviously you've had a fantastic result with Brunswick. You've put it on the market to rent for Airbnb and it's 29 days like that.
Yes.
Congratulations. But it's not always the case. So what are your rules around that?
So everything I've bought has been new. And that's because of the underlying investment that I want and what I'm really looking for in the initial investment. So the first buffer is everything was delayed. So I couldn't start advertising or putting furniture in and what have you. But I've actually, the most recent one, worked with Cass and R&W Plus, and they're amazing. They've got connections with furniture companies. companies, and they've obviously got a back-end provider who's helping with all the Airbnb side. So the way it works is R&W already had the association with the owners, the homeowners. So they've kept that association. And then on the back end, there's a provider doing all the Airbnb and cleaning and scheduling and payment side for the tourist side. So Cass and the team were just awesome, Marcel. They basically were there for when the furniture arrived and that all got put in and rubbish taken away and paintings put up and TVs turned on and what have
that's
you
massive.
Internet done and they also were there for letting the cleaners in and then the photographers in. So that process, I suggest leaving 2 months for that, but it actually doesn't have to be that long if you're organized and if you're on top of it. But leaving a bit more buffer, especially when you're calculating your income, I think is really important, because it could be quite a lag before you've got the furniture done, the advertising done, the tenants started, and the cash flow coming in. So I reckon plan a 3 month setup.
Yeah,
and then if you've got that covered with buffers and cash, then you're going to be fine.
Okay, and so I'm sure people are wanting to know the cost of setting all of that up. Do you pay the property manager extra? Is there a fee to get them to set it up? Because some people like the idea of doing it themselves, which personally I am not interested in at all. But then what is the management? Because it's obviously going to be different than managing a standard 12-month lease. So the costs are a bit higher.
Right.
So talk us through that.
That's right. Right. So for starters, there is a setup fee, a photography fee, and a cleaning fee. That comes to around $1,000 or less.
Yep.
And then the property management is actually 20%, but that includes everything, just the same way that you'd have all your inspections done on your 12-month rental. All of that's included, but also all the back end scheduling, getting the money from the clients, advertising on all the short term stay places, all of that is included.
That's fantastic.
And yeah, but I like to quote what I earn after property management, because if you're earning a lot of money after property management, you don't begrudge them getting a big fee for getting all that work done.
So that's
really important. So 20% plus GST is about the right amount for property management.
Yeah.
The setup and everything can all be done hands off when you've got a team like R&W, and they're doing Brisbane and Melbourne at the moment. So they're all on the ground and look after that.
I actually
did one of them by myself. I really did enjoy it, but only because we had all of January off and I had time.
You're a braver woman than me.
But the furniture costs, I like to buy the type of furniture that I would like to stay in, really nice. I get extra toppers on the mattress to make sure they're comfortable.
Perfect.
And, beautiful looking furniture. So 2-bed, 1 bath, 1 car, the most recent one was $27,000 worth.
Yep.
That included fridge, washing machine, dryer, everything in the kitchen, like coffee machines, you name it. And then all the little knickknacks, what have you, the television, everything, all of that, and outdoor furniture. So then I've got the depreciation schedule. For that Brunswick property, the regular depreciation is about $17,000.
Yep.
My first year is not quite double that.
Wow.
Because of fridges and washing machines and electric car chargers.
Yeah. And just so everyone understands, I used to have holiday rental properties prior to Airbnb. That's how long ago it was. And back then we used to advertise everything on Take a Break websites and Stays. They were the two big ones that you had to be on.
Right.
And it used to cost me about 25% of my income to do all of that. And I had to do, even though I had a property manager that was local, I still had to manage all the bookings. And so 20% to have all of that done for you is actually really good value for money when you're talking about short-term stays.
I will say that there's some little tricky fees in there that you don't quite see, and that the tourist person is, you know, the client is paying for as well. So that 20% is sort of for our aggregator and R&W Plus. So there are a couple of other fees when you go on the website and you go, oh, they're getting that much per week. So you don't quite see it all because Airbnb takes their chunk as well.
Yeah.
So it might have been the similar to you.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. So it ends up being about the same. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, that makes sense. And I was going to tell you something then. No.
We just care about what comes in our pocket, right?
Yeah. But $4,000 for 29 days is pretty good net result after everything. So that's amazing.
Right. And that's the first one. So we haven't even started adjusting prices for demand or anything yet.
Right. So there's all of that. And R&W, so I understand, R&W make recommendations based on that, I would assume. So they work.
Actually, it's more formal than that. There is a back-end system that does dynamic pricing based on everything else that's in the area that's available or going. So I don't have to say, hey, there's a big event coming at the local stadium, so can you check pricing? It's already dynamically done by the system, and that's part really of, you know, cool. You're paying for that.
That's really
it's very cool.
Awesome. Okay. And so, and I will say too, having had holiday rentals, like sometimes people like the idea of getting an apartment and throwing some cheap furniture in and getting a perceived massive yield. Doesn't work like that, guys. if you want repeat people, if you want a solid tenancy without large vacancy periods, you need to kit it out beautifully. And I think, Megan, this is what you've done. So, yeah.
That's right. And you need those reviews. Those reviews may mean everything. And cleanliness is really important.
Yeah.
Really nicely set up. And, you know, I just leave batteries and, you know, in case the remote controls die, I leave all of that kind of thing in there as well. So it's easy.
Yeah.
And people want things like games. And, you know, I get best reviews because we've got Monopoly and all sorts of board games in there. And so, okay, I'll keep doing that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We stayed at a place recently in Airbnb. And I mean, not that this applies to you, it's just one of these silly little things, but we had goats at the property. And that was actually the highlight of our whole trip was these bloody goats. We fed them every morning.
Having something unique or really comfortable and homey where people just feel that they can walk in and they're in a beautiful space.
Yeah.
And they will do with a little bit of noise if it's a big city area. But basically you do want a nice sort of quiet, private area where they can just enjoy being in that space. Makes a big difference.
Yeah. I always had a rule because we had a holiday house. I always had a rule down by the beach and I always had a rule, no schoolies. that was the big one. Schoolies was the big one. Basically, I mean, and you guys know, I'm sure you've all Airbnb'd at one point in time. No parties, no schoolies.
No smoking.
No smoking. Yeah. No smoking's a big one. And as a non-smoker, I really appreciate that. Alrighty. And anything else to look out for? Any other tips for people that are considering Airbnb?
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, you've got to get short-term insurance. That's so easy through Terry Shear or whomever. It's very easy. It's a similar price or the same price, but it's just called a short-term rental.
Yeah.
And they have a really good policy and it's very clear what that covers. So that's important. It's a must. Mm-hmm. Then the body corporate. I actually like to work with the body corporate, let them know what's going on. It says, you know, in the bylaws, it mightn't say that there's a problem with short-term rental, but I want to make sure that the body corporate's aware of it and that I'm going for executive rental. And it's just like having a short, any tenant in there. Gotcha. And I've even had somebody want to pay a lot of money over Christmas and bring their dog. And as you know, there's been changes to rules with body corporates and stuff with animals. So I was able to fill in a 2-week form for a particular dog, and that all got approved. So yeah. So the body corporate, you just want to stay on the right side of them.
Yep.
If it says in the body corporate that you can't do it and you've got advice from somebody to say, well, you can, just remember that your tenant could be treated badly by other people in the building if it's not in the body corporate rules, and you don't want your tenant to, have bad comments or anything like that. So it's really important there. Yeah. Sometimes a body corporate will say that's fine, but you can't use the common areas, and they'll change the fob to only let them into their area and not the common areas, which is fine. So you just don't advertise common areas.
Yeah.
And I avoid places that have a lot of amenities and allow Airbnb, because I think that's too much use of the facilities. So you don't want a whole football team turning up and using, all the pool and everything. So I think it helps everybody if you're just going to places where the body corporate's happy and it works. Then I want to talk about local government regulations. We have different regulations around Australia already.
Yep.
Noosa. You have to apply to the council. It's about a $10,000 application fee, and you may or may not get it.
Ooh.
At the moment, Brisbane is just charging you a little bit more on your rates, which is no big deal. But if you do not tell the council, then you'll have people dobbing you in, and you'll get into trouble. And you will have people dobbing you in, even if you've told them, you've told the council. So that'll just happen. In Sydney, I think it's only a certain percentage of time that you can rent a property out short term. Or is that just your own home? And then Melbourne, at the moment, there's no regulations. But what I think we need to think about is, what if regulations came in? It may be that if you've already got an Airbnb, you might be grandfathered in and allowed to keep it.
Yep.
But I feel that getting a property that you would be happy and the right cash flow, furnished, long-term rental, unfurnished, get a really, really good property that you want in your portfolio forever, even if you can't do short-term rental. I think that's really key.
Yeah, and I just want to really hone in on that, because obviously – we've got some of the lowest vacancy rates we've seen in Australia for a long time across the board. We have a challenge with providing supply in at least the short term. And so sometimes in order, we can't have people sleeping in cars, and I'm being overly dramatic here, but we did see it during COVID and regional, when everyone shifted out to regional, or a lot of people did. The locals got priced out of the market. There wasn't availability. So when we're in a market where there's that kind of pressure, sometimes government will make some short-term changes, or politicians will make short-term changes without thinking through longer ramifications. And, it might be that the rules around Airbnb change. There might be some big fees to apply. There might be some restrictions, or it might be just ruled out. All of them are if, buts, and maybes. So if you're going to do Airbnb, understand that there is a small amount of risk that rules could change around it. Nobody knows what those rules are going to be. Nobody's got a crystal ball. But what Megan has so adequately expressed is that if you're buying a property to Airbnb, if you couldn't Airbnb it, it still has to make sense to have it in your portfolio. We've got to think about Airbnb income as the cherry on the top of our investing strategy. So we make hay while the sun shines, and all those sorts of analogies. We enjoy the cash flow while we've got it. We utilize it well to pay down debt, or whatever else your strategy is with that. And then if the rules changed and you had to go back to a standard lease, you'd still be thrilled to have that property, because it's a property that fits into your long-term strategy, your long-term buy and hold. Yeah. Don't just go buying an Airbnb for the sake of it, for the cash flow, and then get stuck with a lemon if you can't rent it, because it won't appeal to a standard lease or an owner occupier potentially that wants to buy it later on down the track. Yeah. So
that's right. And
a very good point.
Yep. Yeah, there will be a market for furnished, long-term furnished. So yeah, even though you've put all the furniture in there and what have you, that'll still get a higher return anyway, and you've still got yep. the extra tax deductions and things, all depreciation, yeah. what have you. I do have a couple of clients who are older, closer to retirement, yep. and they rent out maybe a downstairs room, a separate part of their house and things like that. That's slightly different again, because they have to take into consideration that there could be some capital gains tax if they sold, because they're using part of their home.
Yep.
But what I have seen is incredible cash flow. I've got one couple near the Brisbane airport, and they've got a downstairs area that actually isn't code high enough to be called a bedroom, but it really is a lovely space, and they can rent that out for $250 a night, because it's that close to the airport, and it's a fantastic investment for that young couple. So really good.
That's awesome. Yeah, especially when you're starting out, or you've reached the other end of the scale and maybe you've got some debt you've got to pay off quickly. I know my personal trainer, my personal trainer, she lived in St. Kilda, and she had an apartment in one of those beautiful old Art Deco buildings, and it was a two-bedroom apartment, and they just used to, her and her partner used to just Airbnb out for the weekends the second bedroom. And and it paid all their rent and everything. And they loved it. They got to talk to people. And I mean, it's a bit too cozy for me. I personally wouldn't be in the market for that. but they loved it. They were young. They were, keen to meet interesting people, backpackers. They met some crazies. Had a great time doing it. So it is a very flexible strategy. One last question for you. Because I'm a bit of a nervous Nelly booking around Airbnb, I don't know why, but I just am. I always choose Superhost, right? I always ask for the Superhosted properties. How do you get Superhost? And you may not know the answer to this question. And obviously it's better to be rated better. Like, how do you have any control over that? What dictates that?
So it's actually the group that is putting your property into Airbnb. So if you're using a third party, as we are, yep. If they get the super host status, then you get to piggyback on that.
Ah.
And it's fabulous, because you do get put at the top. And I bet that's why we got that 29 days, because the moment it went on, it went straight to the top of Airbnb.
Ah.
So it does matter who you use as a hosting service.
Yeah,
that's right. And I also look at all the reviews. I want something clean, and I go through each bedroom and make sure the bed configuration's right. I do it all, and I want to make sure it's got air conditioning and
everything.
But I do read all of the reviews.
Mm.
Helping somebody out yesterday, they were looking at a different company that had given them a quote for short-term rental and helping them out. And all of the reviews that I went to, they were under the average on cleanliness. And I said, well, you wouldn't use this company, because they're not worried about cleanliness. You want a company that is very structured and has a checklist 100%. And gets really high rating on cleanliness.
Absolutely.
So that all helps with Superhost. Absolutely. Yeah.
Very good. Okay. Well, that's good to know.
There was one more thing I thought. People Please. Say, how much time does it take? Because they imagine that they're doing all of the Airbnb control and work. In actual fact, it's once you've done the setup with the furniture, and you've also had to go and pay for internet and a couple of other services. Once you've done that, it is the same amount of work as a 12 month rental, because you're simply getting the statement every month and the money in your account every month. And you can keep an eye on the different sites, Airbnb and what have you, and see what's going on there. You get a message every time somebody gives you a booking. So, and you also can see all of the reviews that are coming through, so you can check on how the company is doing for you. So it's not any more work than a 12-month rental.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's really
and,
good.
You pay that 20% plus some odds and sods, but it sounds like it's a fair trade for what you receive in return.
It is. And awesome. One more thing I thought of. I didn't mention Gold Coast.
Yes.
It's actually between a $7,000 and a $9,000 fee to request to get approval for Airbnb in the Gold Coast. Now, for me, knowing that particular one I'm bringing on could get up to $2,500 a week, I just put that $7,000 to $9,000 down as the cost of the property. I'll make up that, no problem. Yep. It's not for everybody, but of course you've got to have the idea that you're going to have this as a rental for a long time to make it worthwhile.
Yeah. Always long-term outlook, not quick term. Yeah. All right. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Megan. It's awesome to have an Airbnb expert on our team.
Love it.
Yeah. No, thank you so much for today. And I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast.
Hey, thanks for listening to Property Investor Tales. Remember to subscribe so you get notified every time a new episode drops. As you can guess, I love hearing people's property investor tales. So if you'd like to share yours, then please get in touch with me via email at propertyinvestortales@positivementor.com.au. We would also love your feedback, and I would appreciate a 5-star review over on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Remember, you can watch all of these podcasts over on YouTube at Positive Mentor or at positivementor.com.au. Until then, take care, happy investing, and bye for now.